remember when. We bumped into each other, probably summer. Oh, I remember what it said. Oh, yes, yes, yes. It was the head of the Aquacon, and Mike was coming down. We were there, and Mike came down with a Navy trailer and got it stuck. You remember that? You were trying to get it in, and they had a space this big, and you were almost down the hill, and they were having you back, and you got stuck. And this guy came out of the truck, and he was red. The guy was back there. Everybody's been right down there. And he's trying to back him up, and he was a ranger. And he's back there going like this. And I can see Mike looking, and he's back in the buses. And, of course, there's three boats stuck this way, waiting for Mike to go. And the ranger's doing this. And Mike gets out of the truck, and he's all red-faced and very nice and quietly. He said, and the guy said, no, really. I like this guy. This guy's okay. So we got to know him. I worked at his camp. He runs a wonderful camp. I don't know if anybody here has had anybody goes to it, but it's an absolute, I've been around a lot of rowing camps. By far, I'm biased. By far, it's the best rowing camp. They do a wonderful job down at the academy. And Mike and I have worked together on many things, travel around the country doing all sorts of clinics. We just got Phoenix together and stuff. So. Mike Hughes, head coach at Avial Camp.
That's good. Thanks. First of all, I just spilled coffee all down my shirt, so I'm ready for my talk. But what I wanted to do ask first is, raise your hand if you either know me, either spoke to me, or saw me present before. It's ridiculous. I only got three jokes. What am I going to do? Oh, my goodness gracious, gosh. There's even people from Chelsea Heights here. It's a heck of a group. Well, I'm really glad to come up here and speak with you, and I know I have a short time. I'm going to talk about training plan development. And what we do at Navy is we go out the first day and we row as hard and as fast as we can this way to race pace. We stop, we turn around, and we row back this way at race pace. And we each day we go a little further till we can row 2,000 meters. All right. That's not true. That's how we trained on the beach patrol, though. It seemed to work there. Anyway, and then the other thing, my advice about racing is get out in front and stay there. Works every time. I guarantee you. Anyway, seriously, training plan development starts with understanding the categories of the physiology that you train in, okay? And understanding those categories, basically, you're going to be rowing in different categories to train different parts of your physiology. And the way that it's set up, and this is the textbook that I use, I recommend it, is Training for Rowing by, how I always spell his name wrong, McNeely. Training for Rowing by McNeely. It spells it out, there's a lot of information out there, but it spells it out really well. And when you're training in categories, he talks about six categories. Category six, which is steady state, okay, I'm going to give you a lot of generalities because it's not going to work the same for everybody, but that's where your heart rate is between 140 and 160, okay? And then category five, which is a little more intense steady state, okay? And your heart rate's between 150 and 170, and then C4, which is actually anaerobic threshold training. We'll talk about that in a second, which your heart rate goes up to 170 to 180. And then category 3, which is, this is interval training, by the way, interval. This is also interval training. It's like sub-race pace training. Okay, your heart rate's going to be about 180 plus. And category 2 is racing, okay? And category 1 is speed work. Okay, so those are the categories that you're going to train in. And now the next question is, okay, they're the categories that we're going to train in. How do I know I'm in that category when I'm rowing? How do I know I'm there? Well, one way on the ergometer is to do a 5K test. A 5K test. And by that, I mean have them row 5,000 meters as hard as they can, if you have ergs. You know, if you don't, of course you can't. And then Category 6 would be there, that the split from there, the 5K split, 5K split plus 13 seconds on the pieces that they're rowing. They're rowing long pieces because they're steady state. And then the same here is plus 8. Here is plus 2. And here is minus 2 seconds. So if you row to 210, it's 212 now. And then here is just plain category 2. I'm going to make sure I get these straight line. Category 2 is basically racing, okay? So your heart rate is going to be up there. Racing speed work, your heart rate's going to be 180 plus anyway, as high as you're going to get it. But on the ergometer, this one's just all out. It's any 2 to 7 minute piece all out, okay? When it's racing, it's racing, and your heart rate's up there. And of course, speed work is going to be the same. It's going to be fast. On the water, I have a little different way of determining it. And a little bit of this is subjective, but it seems to work. One of the troubles with heart rate as a predictor of what category you're rowing in is the fact that heart rate can change from day to day. Not that your maximum heart rate is going to be different, but like say the kid didn't have breakfast, or the kid didn't have lunch, or the kid's stressed, or the kid's dehydrated. It's going to affect the heart rate. So you might be rowing. I've had kids rowing like, you know, steady state, and my heart rate's 190. Well, there's something wrong. You know, you're not drinking water, you're not eating food, something's wrong there. So it's not always an accurate predictor. On the water, what I say is you're rowing 18, is your stroke rate, 18 to 22, and the one constant here is it's all full pressure. You're rowing 18 to 22, full pressure, you're going to get to category 6. If you row 22 to 24, you're going to get category 5. 24 to 26, going to be category 4. And remember, these are steady states, and then these are interval pieces, okay? Or actually, this can be either steady state or interval piece. Category 3 is 26, actually, and up to 30. And then category 2 is racing, so whatever your race pace is. Race pace. And category 1 is up there, you know, 36 plus. So, and like I said, there's a little bit of wiggle room in there, but I find that if they get out there and they do that, and I check their heart rates, if everything's good with them, their heart rates will be within the framework of what I said over here, okay? Now, boy, this is the fastest presentation I ever gave in my whole life. I'm out of breath. I'm not ready for this. I need some more Category 6 presentation training. Okay. All right. Now, what we're going to look at now is like, okay, I'm going to develop a training plan. I know somebody had a question like, how do I do it when I only have the fall? Or spring, I mean. And it's like we start, you know, in February. Well, what you want to do when you make a training plan, and I think in your handouts there's a training plan outline, and there's something about volumes of training. You want to start from your last race. Basically, what you're going to do is you're going to start from your last race and work backwards. Now, when I started my coaching career at Holy Spirit. I started my career of rowing at Holy Spirit when boats were made of stone and the riggers were made of tree branches. I swear to God, I wouldn't lie to you. It was that long ago. But I will say that we couldn't start till I think, it's the 1970s, so I think it was President's Day weekend. You guys remember, was that?
Yeah.
So if that's the key, that's the issue, and one of the things we did was we didn't really know what we were doing, except Stan Bergman knew what he was doing. I can tell you that much. Basically, what happens was we started out and started out the way I'm going to show you, and as we got into the racing season, we held on to what I'm going to show you to do and didn't force it, and it might have cost us some races early on, but later on, it made a lot of races, made us win a lot of boat races. So if this is your timeline for rowing, okay, there's training anymore is all periodization. Basically, there's a period in time for doing certain kinds of things. Okay? Now, early on, and we'll go back to this in a second. Early on is different than later. Okay? Obviously, let's say this is your last race. Well, there's a period in here called your competition season, competitive season, okay? During that part of the season, you're going to be doing a lot of C1, C2, occasional C3, and sometimes a C4, okay? But you're probably going to do a maintenance every once in a while, like once a week, you're going to do a maintenance C6, okay? I'm dropping everything. Along in the season, too, it can be broken up into two parts of your competition season. The first part, you're practicing your race plan. You're changing your race plan. You're seeing what works for you. You're going after it as best you can. And then by mid-season, you have your race plan down. You're ready to go. And this is the reason the races you want to win anyway. Okay. Now, before that part of the season, there's a pre-competition season. Now, if your competition season is 7 or 8 weeks, your pre-competition season can be whatever weeks it makes. In other words, the weeks will fall into your time. And I'll show you how that goes. Let me get through this first, and I'll go back and show you how that goes. This is a pre-competition. During this time, you're still doing maybe one day of, actually a little bit more. According to what I've read is your volume, your highest volume is in the pre-competition phase. However many weeks that is for you till you start racing. Volume meaning you're going to have at least 60% still of C6. Now, this is only maintenance when you get to here. But 60% C6, but then you're going to have your C4s, your C2s, okay, and not too many C1s. The speed work is for later, okay? Maybe at the end of this part you can start adding speed work in there. Okay, before this, there's the longest part of your season, and which could be short if you're starting on President's Day, but this is the preparation phases. Okay, when these phases here, you can have an early prep and a later prep. Okay, you can break it up, and basically you're doing almost all steady state. And when you're doing all steady state, basically what's happening is, you know, you're building your conditioning, your C6 and your C5s, almost all C6, C5, and once in a while, occasional C4s, okay, in that phase there. And as you get closer to this one, you add more C4s and occasional C2, okay? Now, and I can tell you, people say, well, how can you do that? You go to head races. We go to head races all the time, and you know, we're doing all this this stuff here, try to make it different every day. And we'll go to a head race, and we do very well in head races. And the thing, our reason is because I think, you know, okay, we bring the stroke rate up a bit for the head race, but we're already in shape. And so we bring it up one day to practice the stroke rate, and then we go race it, and we've done very well in head races forever. And I think that's the reason why. I wish the 2,000-meter races were 4 miles long sometimes. You know, it would even the playing field a little bit for us. But anyway, if you're starting, if you know what this is, your competition phase, then you've got to break these up based on how much time you have. And so, like, let's say President's Day gives you 2 weeks, 4, 6, 4 more, 10, and what, 12 weeks maybe you have for the whole season, if you have a spring season. Okay, let's say this takes up, the competition phase takes up 6 weeks, maybe more. What do you think? Eight. Okay, eight. And how many weeks did I say we had?
12.
Now we only have 4. We're lost. No way you can do it. Now, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to start out with this. And what I would say is, whenever you start, you know this fixed, and you know what this is. You're going to have to divide out what you have, and sometimes it's going to have to go into here so that when you get to the racing season, you might not be ready to row your race pace. You might have to realize that you're going to go out there and some of these, like Philadelphia high schools, are going to be rowing like, you know, 40 strokes a minute down the course, and you're rowing 28, 30, 32, and they're rowing by you, but you have to have the kind of confidence to know that your crew is going to get better over time, and your crew is going to start to eat into them. I remember, honestly, I remember a crew that Stan Bergman had. It was his junior eight. This has to be 1975, maybe. And they got beat by two lengths in the early Manny Flick races. As time went by, they got beat a little less. They got beat by a half a boat in the Philadelphia Cities. They got beat by a deck in the Stotesbury. Then they won the Nationals. And that's the way it went. They were just slow learners, and they came along. They came to practice, you know, in the little school bus. No, they were good kids. They're probably old men by now, aren't they? But that's what you have to do. You can't take like what they say in a book like this and think it's, oh, that's the way it has to be no matter what. You know, you got to take it, what you have, and kind of fit it in there. But you're going to have to start out with this. And you're going to have to stay with this. And then as it comes in here, like, what you can do is you can incorporate it in your practices. You can kind of mesh it. And I do that too. By mesh it, I mean like, okay, you go out there and you do your pieces, say in a pre-competition thing. You do your pieces, and then you go for a nice long steady state. You know, you don't give up on that because you haven't had much time to develop the base. So keep the steady state coming. Even keep it in here a little bit. Any questions? Probably a million questions, right? Thanks.
I got to tell
I'm
you,
out
that
of breath.
Was killing him. His wife called up and said, I will pay you $100 if you film this